Yeah. to all say good night of Shabbos. Good night of Shabbos. A tremendous shkayach to Reb Zevi for the beautiful, beautiful Nagina. Absolutely incredible. Actually, okay. Can I have one of those sheets? Is there an extra one there? Is that extra? Is that Yehuda's? Chaver, is there an extra sheet? Go. Yeah. Okay.
You're going to come back.
All right, so we'll say, so a good night of Shabbos, a tremendous, tremendous success, Baruch Hashem, to be here with everyone. Shkach to Reb Zevi. Where's Reb Yisrael? Where's Yisrael? Oh, Yisrael, tremendous shkach to Reb Yisrael for organizing the food tonight. Really tremendous. Thank you, Shkach. I'll say, what a privilege it is. Yeah, you have to admit. I just understand what I'm sacrificing for all of you. I've been waiting years for this view. For this view, right? I just want to tell you, I gave it up. I gave it up for you. But tell me that it doesn't feel. No, it's okay. I stand here a lot and just look at it. But I'm just saying, like, Baruch Hashem, feels a little bit like as Rabbi Hapra said at the Chanukah Zabai, a shtick Eretz Yisrael. Feels a little bit like that. And Baruch Hashem, how long and how hard have we worked and how long it's been, Baruch Hashem, to be able to get to this place. Just remember again, it feels only a week ago that we were using space heaters. Right. Oh, it was a week ago. They were using space heaters. Baruch Hashem. And now we have a great zechus to be able to learn Torah here in the Ribono Shel Olam's home. And the truth is, I have to tell you, like, I feel so happy for HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he has such a home like this. Happy for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ribono Shel Olam deserves it. He deserves the Beis HaMikdash. That's really what he deserves. But until then, Amir Hashem, it is a schus to provide for him such a beautiful, magnificent, and holy home. And Baruch Hashem, it is a great schus for all of us to be able to fill it with sounds of Torah and sounds of Shira and sounds of Achdus. So Shkoyach. Thank you to all of our sponsors for this evening. Shkoyach to Ivan and Melissa Cohn. In honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Incredible. Beautiful. Beautiful. In honor of the Ribono Shel Olam. Incredible. You then, Sarah Roll, with gratitude to the Borei Olam, for the new precious baby, Tamar Leah. Mazel tov to the rolls. Mazel tov. Eliyahu Ramenfar, in honor of his wife, Devora, for her unwavering devotion and support to our family on our 17th anniversary. First of all, you're just making us look bad. I'm just seriously, it's the fourth shiur in honor of his anniversary. Enough already. Enough. Baruch Hashem. Beautiful. And with Mazel Tov to the entire Kehila. On the inauguration of our new shul, we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the release of the three hostages, and we pray, Emir HaShem, for the safe return of all of those who are still being held. Tremendous shkach to all of our sponsors for tonight. A very special thank you. Well, and of course, thank you. I think I pushed that. And also, we dedicate our learning, of course, in the zechus of our holy hostages. We hope that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Emir HaShem, returns them back to their mishpachos, b'shalom and b'karov. And in the zechus of our holy soldiers, may HaKadosh Baruch Hu allow them to be successful, b'chol ma'asei yedeihem, to accomplish all of their objectives, and in Meretz Hashem to be able to return to their families b'shalom and b'karuf. So let's see. With that, let us continue. So we are picking up tonight in section Mem. So we began to dabble in this a little bit last week, but we ran out of time. So we're going to begin in Meretz Hashem. Well, at least I feel like I want to get through Mem Beis tonight, but. I'll be happy with the first page of Mem, you know, at this point. All right, so let's begin. So the Rebbe says as follows. Well, says, this is a really profound and powerful piece. The Rebbe says, again, there are still extra sheets if anyone needs. And Itchy Weingott. Right? Itchy, you, I didn't see that on the screen. I remember you WhatsApped me. In honor of Rav Hushle Mefor, Yosef Ben Riva. We hope that in the merit of our thank you to the Wine Gods for sponsoring. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, Shavu Refuah Shleima, together with Kol Chole Yisrael.
Amen.
All right, we'll say so. Let's begin. Section Mem. Ein lecha shevet li'ayim bo es yitzricha yoser tov me'asher shevet musarcha shel atzmecha. So I will say this is incredible. So let's translate literally and then understand what the Rebbe is trying to say. So shevet, remember again, means a staff. Now, usually, again, whenever you see shevet, whenever you see staff, what is that usually? What's the connotation, right? What's the association? Usually, authority. Lo yosser shevet mi Yehuda u'mechokek mi bein raglav ad ki yavo shiro v'lo yikasam in Parshas Vayechi Yaakov Avinu's bracha to Yehuda. Lo yosser shevet, the scepter, the staff, shall not pass from Yehuda. So shevet always represents authority. So he says, in lecha shevet la'ayibos yitzricha. Shabbos say, remember again, part of the beauty of this, at Tzav Zeres, is the Piyajetzna. He's talking to himself, but he's talking to us, because the truth is we're all in the same boat of the human condition. The Rebbe says, what do we all contend with? We all contend with the Yetzirah. Yetzirah. All of us have it. All of us have it. And some of us contend with multiple Yetzirah Hara. But all of us struggle with something. And you know, it's interesting, I mentioned this before. You know, when it comes, you know, it's almost Elul. It's hard to believe, but it's almost Elul. And, you know, when we think about, again, it's almost Elul. So Hanukkah's behind us. What's next? It's almost Elul. It's almost Elul. So, you know, one of the interesting parts, when we come to Elul, we come to the Tshuva, we come to Aseres Yemei Tshuva, I think, I don't know, I'll tell you my experience, but I would assume it's the same thing for many of us. It's not the pshat that usually you come to do Tshuva, and you're like, Ribono Shel Olam, I have all of these new averos that I've committed. Right? Panim Chadoshos, Balakan, I'm looking to diversify my spiritual portfolio. Right? I've done all of these new averos. It usually doesn't happen that way. It's interesting, right? I think for many of us, this stuff we're going to do, we did Tshuva on this past Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, is very often the same things I've been doing Tshuva for the last 10 years, 20 years. Maybe it manifests itself in different ways. But rarely do you find the situation of a person saying, you know, Rebbe Shalom, I committed this, I've read this year, and I never did it before. Oh, of course, sometimes it happens. But more often than not, I'm struggling with the same thing, the same Yetzer, the same desire, want, proclivity, however you want to term it. I'm struggling with the same Yetzer. It just manifests itself differently in different stages in life. So the Rebbe says, what do you do about that? What's the Eitzah? So the Rebbe says, the Eitzah is bring it under control. Now his Lashon is La'ayim. What does La'ayim mean? It's actually from Daf Yomi. We just had this in Daf Yomi today. Keitzad ma'aynin ala idim. Right? So what does it mean? To threaten or to intimidate. To intimidate. So the Rebbe says, understand what you have to do. Intimidate. Take control over your Yetzer. So the first thing that the Rebbe teaches us, the first thing before we even go on, is just understand. A lot of times in life, we think that we are victims of our Yetzer. I have these wants, these pushes, these pulls, these desires, and I can't control it. The first thing the Rebbe says is, yes, you can. You are in the driver's seat of your life. You're behind the wheel. You're in charge of you. The buck stops with you. So the first thing the Rebbe says is, if you're going to affect any change in life, you have to believe you could affect change. And to believe that you could affect change, what do you have to believe? What do you have to believe? That you're in control. Because if I don't believe I'm in control, then by definition, I have no ability to affect any level of change. So the first thing the Rebbe says is, again, he's not saying it explicitly, but it's understood. I have to first approach this mahalach understanding, I can control my Yetzer. Doesn't mean I'm always going to be successful. Doesn't mean I'm always going to win the battles. But it's important to understand, I am not a victim of my Yetzer. When my Yetzer gets the best of me, that is because I allow that to happen. I'm a human being. I'm actively giving in. I'm actively yielding. But I believe, an imamin, that what? I am in charge of my Yetzer. So once I believe that I have control over my life, okay, now we can begin a conversation. Now that I believe that I have control, how do I, literally translated, how do I intimidate? Or really, how do I pull my Yetzer into submission? What's the rod? What's the shevet that one uses to, so to speak, beat their Yetzer into submission? How do you do it? I want to say, is this not the you thought you were here for the chant and the poppers, right? And Zevi, right? Isn't it incredible? Isn't this the $1 million question? I've been struggling with this my whole life. How do I control my Yetzer? So look what he writes. He says, Yoser Tov, Me'asher, Yoser Tova, Me'asher Shevet Musarcha Sha'atzmacha. So here he says it explicitly. The best rod, right, the best staff you could use to beat your Yetzer into submission or to rule over your Yetzer is what he calls Shevet Musarcha Sha'atzmacha. Your own personalistic staff, which is what we were just saying. The knowledge that I'm in control. I'm not a victim. I'm not a victim. I'm not a victim of any, right, of circumstance. I am in control of my life. Is it true that things happen to me sometimes against my will? Absolutely. Is it true that other people do things that negatively, adversely impact me? Absolutely. But with all of those things, I am in control of my life. Shevet musarcha shel atzmecha. There is the shevet. Remember, we spoke about this a little bit last week. What does musar mean? What is musar? Reproof, right? That's often how we write reproof, rebuke. The truth is, remember again, what's the lashon of musar? Right. Samech, reish, hey. Sar, to move. The study of musar, right, is to teach you to go on a direction in life. That's what musar is. It doesn't really mean, into errors, we translate it as rebuke or reproof, but really what it means is a direction, right? Well, the greatest challenge in life is I'm often rudderless. I'm directionless. I'm directionless. Musar is there to give me a kivun, to give me a direction. So shevet musarcha shel atzmecha. It's your own personal staff that gives you direction in life. V'acharoto, so we'll say, so that's the first point that Piaget is making, is you can control your yetzer. Your yetzer doesn't control you. You control your yetzer. You have a shevet. You have the staff through which you are able to reign in the yetzer. Now he goes on. V'acharoto v'amosar ha'klayo shem anim es libo shel adam achar chet'o v'achar nifiloso dayum la'atzmom la'ayim alavu l'yisrachik minakir. So this is interesting. Now, he says there's another powerful tool. What's the other powerful tool? He says the charata. Charata means remorse. Musar haklayos. What's musar haklayos? Right? Kishka. So the truth is, really, in this context, what he's really understanding over here is it's guilt. There's a profound sense of remorse and guilt after I sin. The Piaget says that's powerful and that's important. Remorse and guilt, no one likes feeling remorse and guilt, but remorse and guilt are very powerful emotions. He says, Dayam la'atzmam, those by themselves sometimes, now again, remember, remorse and guilt may not prevent me from committing the Avera, but often what they will do is they will prevent me from repeating the Avera. Because the remorse and the guilt that I feel after the fact, the shame, the remorse, the guilt that I feel, is enough to make me not want to do this again. I don't want to feel this way about myself. I don't want to feel this way about my life. And that's a powerful thing. He goes on. But the Rebbe says, but just understand, even the pain and the remorse and the guilt and the shame that we feel in the aftermath of sin is not all that powerful. What does he mean? It's not enough. Meaning what? Shigam b'shas charatasa l'harag li'yitzra. Even in that moment of incredible remorse, right? It's not the pshat that like, everyone say, anyone ever have an experience like this? Where you commit an Avera, after the Avera, you feel like sick. You feel like sick about it. Like, I can't believe I did this. I'm filled with all of the feelings of just shame and pain and guilt, okay? And then, like an hour later, have that same Yetzihara again. That ever happened to anyone? No, it happens to me. Hey, the Pesach says, isn't that fascinating? Isn't that, so like, what does that tell you? We'll say, the beauty of the Piaget that we've seen through his writings is the whole Yisod of the Rebbe's Torah, the whole Yisod of the Rebbe's Torah is being in touch with yourself. Understand you. Because if you don't understand you, you can learn a lot of Torah. You're not making any headway in life. So Piaget says, isn't it fascinating that I could commit an Avera, I could feel sick about that Avera, upset about that Avera, ashamed about that Avera, and yet again, that Yetzer comes back all over again. Right? That Yetzer just comes back. He says, why? Because Shagam Bishas Charatas L'Harag L'Yetzer. Because even in a time of incredible remorse, my Yetzer is still there. I have not demolished the Yetzer. The Yetzer is still present. He goes on, U'B'Seser Libo K'var Miskonein Hu L'Shavu L'Fagel. This is incredible. Because there's a piece of me in my heart that's revving up for the next Avera. There's a piece of me. And I both say, we experience this. I feel this disgust over what I did. A real profound sense of disgust. And yet, an hour later, whatever it is, an hour later, 2 days later, 3 days later, a week later, the same Yitzhar is back again with the same intensity. He goes on, he says, U'bishil zeh, ein ma'as of kol kach ro'im, vein libo kol kach dove aleim, at shekim at yirtze losum sakin below merov kaso v'tzaro alatzmo umipachado yifchad mitzaro yira yishmar v'yivrach. So let's say, Piaget, that's something amazing. He says, you know, to be honest, if a person really felt the full profundity of the culpability of sin, the Rebbe essentially says, one would not be able to live with themselves. They just wouldn't be able to live with themselves. Which also, if you think about it, just on a deeper theological level, it's tomorrow's daf. Tomorrow's daf is going to speak about the chet of Adam HaRishon. So we think about the notion of aver, the notion of chet, the notion of rebellion against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that here the Ribono Shel Olam gives me everything. And in reality, considering what he gives me, he asks so little in return. And yet I have such difficulty meeting basic expectations of the Ribono Shel Olam. Piagetsna says, if a person really grasped the enormity of the failure of sin, they would not be able to live with themselves. So he says, the fact that we can live with ourselves after sin usually means that what? That again, we don't fully grasp the enormity of it, but also because the Yetzirah is still alive in me. It's still there. It's still churning, right? The Yetzirah, even in those feelings of shame and guilt and sadness, the Yetzirah is revving up, right, for the next machzor. He's revving up for the next episode. He's revving up for the next event. So what do you do? See, PhDs, I'm saying, right, this is what we struggle with all the time. So now, I want to do the right thing. I don't want to keep making the same mistakes, but I don't know how to escape the clutches of the Yetzer Hara. I don't know how to break the cycle. I'm stuck. I'm like the hamster on the wheel. And it's true, different Avera manifests itself at different times, but I want to break the cycle. How do I do it? So look at what the Rebbe says. Last paragraph, page Shin Pei Aleph. Vazeh, get ready for this. This is an incredible piece. Vazeh Amra Gimara. Gemara Maseches Brachos says that if a person, the Olam Yargiz Adam Yetzirah Tova Yetzirah, person should always literally again incite his good inclination, his Yetzirah Tov, over his Yetzirah. That's what a person should do. So the Gemara says, so what happens if I can't do that? What happens if I can't self-inspire like that? So the Gemara says, Yaskir Lo Yom HaMisa. So the way we normally translate this is, remember the day of death. So I'll say, what's Pasha Pshat? What does remembering the day of death have to do with overcoming Yetzirah? What's the Pshat? There's going to be an accounting. I'm sorry? You're going to see the Lord. Right? Well said. Right. Hallelujah. Right? You're going to see the Lord. It's absolutely true. In other words, the Pasha Pshat in the Gemara is that there's an accounting. After 120, you're going to see the Lord. After 120, there's going to be a day of judgment. So what looks all wonderful and delicious and enjoyable and fantastic now, just understand, you're going to have to give an accounting for it. That's the Pasha Pshat. But the Rebbe says something amazing. He says, "Velo amru yaskir lo hamisa bilvan." The Rebbe says, but why does the Gemara say, "Yaskir lo yom hamisa"? Why does it say, remember the day of death? If it was just about remembering the idea that we're going to face God, just say what? Yaskir lo misa, or hamaves. One day you're going to die, and when you die, you have to go up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you have to give accounting for your life, and you have to give accounting on everything. And even the stuff that you could explain away to yourself, you can't necessarily explain it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So why Yom HaMisa? Why the day of death? And this is incredible. He says, Ki az biyoma achron, sheitz ropas. Rebbe says something amazing. It was like, he's quoting over here from the Zohar. The Zohar brings down that on the last day of a person's life, they don't have a Yetzirah. There's no Yetzirah on the day that you die. By the way, what's the Raya for this? What's the Zohar's Raya for this? Is Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu again, it says Vayelech, Parshas Vayelech. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Lo uchal od latseis velavo. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I can't come and go anymore. So the Gemara says, but Moshe Rabbeinu is old, he's infirm. Moshe Rabbeinu on the last day of his life didn't have a Yetzirah. See, the difference is, when you don't have a Yetzirah, you also can't grow. There's no growth without a Yetzirah. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, the ucha od latseis filavo, I'm immobile without the Yetzirah. So the Piagetsan says over here, listen to this, we'll say, on the day that you die, you have no Yetzirah. Listen to this. Ayuma hazuma niglasa lefana b'chol giyula, goal mafesh. So the Piagetsna says, let's think about this. What happens on your day of death, right? On the day that you're going to die. So you don't have any Yetzirah. You will say, what happens when a person has no Yetzirah? So the Rebbe says, complete, absolute, unequivocal clarity. And I realized that like, all of the stuff that I did that I shouldn't have done, what a waste. It's not about punishment. That's not what this is. This is not, it's on the day of my death and I'm scared to meet my, it's not about fear. And it's not about punishment. It's about a feeling of profound sadness and almost disgust for a life squandered away. All of that time that could have been spent on building myself up was spent with deconstructive behavior. And again, we'll say, nothing to do with punishment. This is not about onesh. A person is just overwhelmed. The Rebbe is using very strong wording over here. Ayumas hazuama niglas alafanim b'chol geula. Literally, again, we'll just use the Rebbe's words. The disgusting nature of the things that I did are so apparent and obvious in front of me. Goel nefesh v'chol yumechayev ovrim lefanav kiom katzar shemale akol gidosav bishkatzim v'ramasim hevel unevala. And then I look back retrospectively on my life and I feel the whole thing went by and was filled with just so much, again, the Rebbe's using very strong Lashon over here, so many terrible things. Just like shkatzim v'ramasim, creepy crawly things, just disgusting things. Udvarim hatovim shenimtzaim bo, ze'ir sham uze'ir sham. Did I do good? Did I do good things? Sure. But again, what good did I do? A little bit here and a little bit there. He says, Kimat einam nikarim legodol mi'utam ubididasam. Sometimes the good that I've done, it doesn't even register when compared to all of the terrible things, the squandered opportunity, the wasted times. The az, ma gadol tsa'aro keivo. I will say, can we imagine how much pain a person is on that day? So I will say, this is probably, can we imagine that person who's on his deathbed, it's his last day in this world. No yetzahara, complete, unequivocal clarity. He sees himself and he sees life for what it is. And what? He realizes, I was a fool. I spent my whole life, right, creating alternative spiritual religious frameworks that allowed me, or gave, quote unquote, allowed me to do all the things I wanted to do. Or I gave, had this excuse for this, or this excuse for that. And then on the day of death, when there's no yetzer hara, it becomes abundantly clear that it was smoke and mirrors. I deceived myself. I deluded myself. And I went ahead and I wasted the opportunity for a beautiful and meaningful life. The Rebbe says, this is what people go through. I just want to tell you, and then that phrase, V'azma gadol tsa'aro kevo. Can we imagine the pain that a person says? I just want to tell you, as someone who spends like a lot of time around death, I know that sounds like a morose statement, but it's true, just part of the avodah, right? And spends a lot of time with people, you know, who are leaving this world. I cannot begin to tell you how many people experience this in their last days. The feelings of profound remorse, for not having lived the best life they could. And I don't mean, I've never heard anyone say, you know what? I really always wanted to go to Paris. And I just can't believe, I can't believe it. I can't believe I'm leaving the world without going to Paris. I've never heard that. But everything else, I should have learned. I should have spent more time with my family. I should have given tzedakah. I should have been a better person. I should have worked on this. And I will say, and you know what the most profoundly terrible thing is? There's nothing to say back. Right? What are you going to say? No, it's okay. Right? There's always tomorrow. Exactly. When you hear it, of course, again, sometimes it's also a person not reflecting enough on the good they have done. That is true. I was saying, with the PHS, it happens. It happens. The Yetzer is gone. The excuse mechanism is gone. You know, all of the different alternative, right? The cognitive dissonance is gone. The alternative realities are gone. Everything is gone. And all I have is just an neshama with no yetzahara, so there's complete clarity. And I look back at my life, and I'm like, what did I do? Or maybe, what didn't I do? What didn't I do? And the Piaget, the Rebbe says, the pain, the overwhelming, inconsolable pain that must cause. He says, Lama asa, I'm base. Sorry, shouldn't pay base. Lama asa kacha, lo mil, lo tachlis. Why did I do all of that stuff? And I both say, sometimes it's not even about the averis, right? Sometimes it's just engaging in things that are just, they're just meaningless. They're just meaningless. They're just vacuous. None of that. Lama shimish esime chayiv laredes el yideim el imke azuma v'tipa atal mikve ditoma rabba ben chamari asoni v'kalbi. Why did I spend my life going down to the deepest levels of impurity so that I now find myself surrounded by donkeys and dogs? Okay, it's like I said, it's very, in Savazeros, remember, the Rebbe uses very extreme lashon. He uses very extreme lashon because he's talking in a very raw, very heartfelt, emotional way. He goes on, he says, Shekvar omdim saviv lemitasu mechakim al nafsho, tachas shehaya yachol la'as la'alos al yideyem el Hashem, el madur ha'atzilos v'nafshu tava chek aviyah benom zakos kedusha. Meanwhile, had I lived the life that I should have led, on my last day of this world, I could have looked forward to my soul ascending ultimately again to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, finding menucha tachas kanfei Hashchina. Es libo yikra, ves nafsho yitshof bekahwa mirav tzara al kebo. And it becomes an inconsolable pain, a total inconsolable pain. There's nothing I could do to make myself feel better about this. Va'az, ki charata amitis. Says the Piagetzna. When does a person experience true charata? One day everyone experiences true charata, your last day in this world. That day when you have no remorse. That day when you have no yitzhara. That day when there's no defense mechanisms that are working or that are activated. That's the day of true and profound charata. Then there's remorse. Rabbi will say, but of course, the tragedy of it is this profound remorse. But now, can I do something with that? Of course. Remember, again, the Rambam says in Hilchos Tshuva, a person could do tshuva at any time. Right? And while, as long as you're alive, you can do tshuva. But do I have the ability to really fix things? No, not so much in the full comprehensive. So come full circle. That's why the Rebbe says, if a person is struggling with his Yetzirah, what does the Gemara Maseches Brachos say? What do you do? Not yaskir lo hamisa. Not just go ahead and say, hey, Ploni, what are you doing? You're going to die. You're going to face the Lord, right? Not just that. Yaskir lo yom hamisa. There's going to be a day that before you die, the day that you're going to die, in which there's no Yetzirah, and just you don't want to feel that pain of lost opportunity, that pain of unmaterialized potential, unactualized potential. You don't want to feel that pain. And if you don't want to feel that pain in the future, act differently now. Change your life around now. Yaskilu yom amisa. Va'od efshar yaskilu yom amisa. Shagam maisa ze yiskar biyom amisa. Yidag v'yitzag alav yifachid. And I will say, if a person knows that day is going to come of complete clarity, and whatever I can make up excuses for now, it's kind of going to fall by the wayside. I'm just going to have to give an accounting for my life, and to myself, not even to God. That's a motivation. Charata zume ata yifachid. This could affect change within the individual now. Umitzaro ze me'ata yivrach v'yisrachik. So I will say, isn't this profound? So this is what the Rebbe is saying. The Rebbe says, the key to going ahead and subduing the Yetzirah, the key to subduing the Yetzirah is nothing to do with God. Right? Now let me finish that sentence, right? Something to do about God. The Rebbe is saying, it's about how you're going to feel about you. Do you want to be in that moment when you are disappointed in the life that you lived? When you're unhappy with, leave God out of it. Nothing to do with God. Right? God comes later on. God comes when you die. You have to deal with this with God. But even before HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in the picture, there's going to be that day where it's just you with yourself, right? Dying. That's going to happen. It happens to all of us. How about after 120? I will say, but death is an inevitable reality. So that day comes, and that day when there's no Yisrael, there's complete clarity. And how do you want to feel about the life that you lived when you're laying on that bed knowing that your journey to the world to come has begun? How do you want to feel? And there's no smoke and mirrors, and there's no excuses because the Yitzhara is gone. And do you want to feel terrible and disappointed and shamed because of the life that I led? Or do I want to be able to say, you know what, sure, I made plenty of mistakes, but at the end of the day, I'm proud of the life I led. I'm proud of the decisions that I made. I did tshuva for the things that I did wrong. but I have nothing to be embarrassed about as I prepare to meet the Ribono Shel Olam. Says the Piyajatzna, that's how you subdue the Yetzirah. Not that you're going to have to stand judgment before God, but you're going to have to engage in the process of self-judgment with yourself. Right? You're going to have to judge. You're going to be judging yourself on that last day in this world. And you don't want to be one of those people who's disappointed with you. Because that's what we all know this. We all know this. You know, when we're young, we think that like the ikker is not to disappoint other people. But as we get older, we recognize that you cannot spend your life trying to impress, please, or make other people happy. It just, usually it doesn't work. The one person you have to be true to, and the one person you have to be honest with, is you. Are you happy with you? Are you content with you? Are you satisfied with the life that you're living? And maybe I could come up with a whole bunch of excuses for why I'm underperforming now. But just know, Yaskol Yom HaMisa, when the Yitzhara goes away in this complete clarity, I want to be proud of the day that I lived, or the life that I lived. And therefore the Rebbe says, this is the Sheva. Again, so going back, well, this will conclude. So Rebbe says, remember again, this is what the Rebbe called, he called this the Shevet Musarcha Shel Atzmacha. The personalistic Shevet, the personalistic staff, or the staff of personalistic Musar. That's the way to subdue Yetzirah. And what's the staff of personalistic Musar? A remembrance of that last day in this world, when all I have is me and myself. I have to engage in an honest inventory of the life that I lived, and I want to be proud. I want to be happy, and I want to be content. All right, so stop over here for tonight. Shkoyach, everyone. My Rav will Amir Sashem be in the base medrash. Shkoyach, everyone. Yes, I'll say, if you don't mind, these chairs came from the main shul, so if you're able to just take your chair and just put it right inside, don't hit the doors or the walls. Thank you.
Thank you.
Doesn't have Yetzer Hara on his last day.